Well, good morning. Happy New Year. We've had a great Christmas. I trust everyone had a good Christmas. Hope everybody's still in the Christmas spirit. Hope you're getting a chance to spend some time with family and loved ones and having a great time with family. That's sometimes if we don't watch it, if we don't act in the spirit of love, we can get on each other's nerves. So we pray that you all had not only get to see family and loved ones, but that you truly treat them like loved ones, and that you maybe old wounds are healed and forgiveness abounds. Goodness, when we think about how much God has forgiven us, then we need to forgive others, don't we? Hi, this is Steve Sappington, and welcome to Enriching People's Lives. It's Sunday, December 27th, the last Sunday in 2009. Goodness, it seems like, I was just thinking the other day, it seems like just yesterday or a few months ago that everybody was talking about Y2K, and here it is almost 10 years later. So, or it is 10 years later, so the first 10 years of our decade have they're already in the record books. I guess some people technically say that the 21st century didn't start until actually 2001, because we start counting with one, we don't start counting with zero. But anyway, we've had 10 years where the first number of the year started with a two. I won't argue about that. But anyway, welcome to our show. We enjoy sharing with you. We hope this is a blessing to you. And I'll be mentioning a couple of times during the show, the first one who contacts us this week, you can either email us or you can call us, and you'll receive a free copy of our first book. It's entitled Today's Word on Money, and I'm going to be covering some material out of the book today, so you'll get a little feel for the types of writing that I do, and I hope it blesses you. So my phone number is 751-0565, and that's area code 254 in case anyone is driving through the area and listening to the show right now. Area code 254, and the number is 751-0565. And I'm just for those of you who maybe have heard of Google Voice, that's something I've just started, so I'll give you that number too. If you dial that number, it tracks me down wherever I'm at. So it's pretty nice feature of the phone. My Google Voice number is area code 254-307-1229. And so if you call that number, it will ring my office number. It'll also ring my cell phone number. So no matter where I'm at, you can catch me. So if you call us and say, "Hey, Steve, I heard on your radio show that you're going to give away a free copy of your book. I'd like to receive that." So, again, the first person that contacts me after our show today, we'll be happy to do that. Or you can email me, sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. Or if you can't write that down, just remember todayswordonmoney.com. That's our website, todayswordonmoney.com. And you can click on the contact tab, and that will pull up the email address also. And while you're there at the website, you can buy a copy of the book. You can read sample chapters. You can read what others have said about the book. You can sign up for our newsletters. You can read previous newsletters. You can also listen to these shows. We began these shows in November, so we've got 2 months worth of broadcast now. I think that's, I don't know, 8 or 9 shows at least. So lots of good information there on the website. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. It's got links there. Read our blog and comment there. So we feel like the Lord has led us to cover some of these topics that maybe haven't been covered this way before, and to be a blessing to the body of Christ. So we hope that these shows are blessing you, and that this information is helping you to be a good steward of all that God has entrusted to you. You know, God has given each one of us blessings, and we don't all have the same gifts. I'm from Oklahoma originally, and one of our favorite native sons in Oklahoma is Will Rogers, one of the greatest philosophers, I think, of just about any time. And, of course, he used a lot of humor, too, in his philosophy. And one of his sayings that I've remembered through the years was he said, "Everybody's ignorant just about different things." So, you know, the only one that's not ignorant about anything is God, because he knows everything. But us humans, we are good at some things, and other things we're not so good at. So hopefully there's some things here that that I'm good at, that the Lord has blessed me with, some information and strategies, and that will help you to become more knowledgeable and more effective as you attempt to be a good steward of all that God has entrusted to you. So we're thankful to be here. We again hope this information blesses you. So I want to start off. I want to read just the preface to my book. And again, I'm kind of being vulnerable here, because it shares some of the things that were a weakness in my life, and that some things that I did that were rebellious, and again led to some pretty serious circumstances, some things that I'm not proud of. But I'm thankful that God has redeemed me and has allowed me then to help others and share some of these things with others, so that hopefully that they won't have the same experience that I did, that they'll be able to avoid some of the pitfalls that the enemy used to entrap me. And so thank God for his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness. But in the preface, it's entitled, "How I Almost Bankrupted My Family." And let me read this. It says, "Before I launch out into the deep with these lessons, let me preface them by saying this. I'm as guilty as anyone of the mistakes that I'll be discussing. I had originally planned to write a different preface, and the first draft of this book actually included about 15 additional lessons on topics such as advanced estate design, insurance, several alternative investments. But as I was engrossed in writing information about products and strategies, I suddenly realized that financial remedies are of little value without a change of heart. You know, this has been true in my life, and I believe it's true for America. So we plan to publish our discussion of products in a second book. And also, please bear with me as I set the stage. This preface may seem kind of preachy to some, but please don't tune me out. In the long run, my intent is to uplift and to encourage, not to belittle or to condemn. As we hear of the problems at various financial institutions, Fannie Mae, Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, Countrywide Financial, AIG, the big three car companies, and many others, we see the so-called experts on TV bandying various strategies that they say will make the pain go away. And then sooner or later, someone inevitably throws out some gargantuan dollar amount that they hope will clean up the mess. But even on an individual level, if someone who is rich and famous can still get hooked on drugs or commit suicide, do politicians really believe that money alone can solve problems at the macro level? And of course, this also ignores the discussion of who will pay for these so-called capital infusions. So let me say it as loudly and as clearly as I possibly can. Spiritual problems cannot be solved with financial strategies. Some of you may be asking, what spiritual problems? So let's briefly look at a couple of them. Number one, God says, "You shall have no other gods before me." You know, I believe that America has so many gods ahead of the one true God now that you might as well be in the back of the line at Baskin-Robbins. You know, take a number. What gods? Well, how about food, sports, comfort, entertainment, beauty, fitness, money, sex, drugs, power? All of those things are gods for many people. And there are many more, though a few of these, they can be worthy if they're put in proper perspective. And at times they can be great servants, but they always make poor masters. For more insights, read the first and second chapters of Romans, which say it much better than I can. The second spiritual problem, Proverbs 21:5 says that steady plodding brings prosperity, but hasty speculation brings poverty. Many Christians today are as guilty as anyone else of being oblivious to the financial lies that have crept into our society. You know, there's false gods of greed and consumerism and assumptions that bigger is always better and the tyranny of quarterly reports. They've all led us all too often to join our unspiritual neighbors in worshiping at the Church of Mammon. And just as a side note, I heard a speaker the other day say that, you know, one little phrase that characterizes the American culture now is an excerpt from a commercial, you know, fast, temporary relief. You know, we want something that's fast and temporary. It won't last long, but at least it'll give us some relief. And, you know, my goodness, don't we see that so often now in the so-called political solutions that we're being offered for all types of problems, whether it's health care or debt or whatever. So, again, that's it may be short-term. It may give us some relief, but, again, there's still a reckoning that's coming. So back to the book. There are all kinds of financial traps that Satan uses to try to ensnare us. Far too many times we've bought into his lies. We assume, for instance, that progressively greater consumption of goods is always beneficial, that a desire for things has more importance than a meaningful philosophy of life, that we should never suffer or have a wrinkle, that we're entitled to a long retirement, and that wealth, not God, is the answer to any and all of our problems. You know, many Christians have become as addicted to debt as non-Christians. As long as we serve the gods of this world, it doesn't matter what quick fixes or investment solutions we try. And I know whereof I speak. In the early 1990s, I almost bankrupted my family. We lived on credit cards for almost 4 years, until at one point we owed more on cards than many people owe on their house. Now, just as sure as I am that our problems have spiritual roots, I'm equally sure that there are some even in the church who may question what I'm saying here. I'm not a prophet, but you know, people also laughed at Noah until it began to rain and God shut the door on the ark. And I believe it's beginning to rain on our country, on our economy. So it's okay for you to be skeptical, but, you know, where will you look for answers and how long will you wait before you acknowledge the truth? You know, my advice is don't wait for the door to shut. You know, later in the book of Genesis, God couldn't allow Joseph to be the second most powerful man in Egypt until Joseph's heart was right. The Bible says that if we seek God, we will find him, if we seek him with all of our heart. You know, I confess that, you know, my heart is too often tainted with thinking that's light years away from what God teaches in his word. So if you disagree with my conclusions, make sure that your alternative truly comes from God's recommendations, not from some spiritual half-truths. My hope for this book is that I can bring enough light, enough truth to light, so that we'll all be inspired to do like Noah in Genesis 6:9 and, quote, walk with God, unquote. Far too many Christians have thought we were doing all that's necessary by attending church for 1 hour per week. What would your health be like if you only ate once a week? Or what if you only exercised one time per week? You know, for some of us, engaging in both of these activities only one time per week might be a temporary improvement, but the long-term results would still be calamitous. Now, please don't think I'm trying to convey that I'm perfect or that I have all the answers. I've lived for over 58 years, so what I bring to the table is almost 40 years as an adult who has made far too many mistakes, and I've experienced plenty of heartaches from disobeying God. But God has been faithful to our family even when I didn't deserve it, so I pray that some of my brokenness will help you avoid the pitfalls that my family and I have survived only by the grace of God. I challenge you to do whatever you have to do to read a daily lesson in this book every day for 40 days. Renew your mind and build your heart so that you can have peace during the storm, because money cannot and will not bring true peace. If we're brave enough and humble enough to admit our failures, God is waiting for us. He longs to restore us and to restore our country. Matthew 5:3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs." In 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray and seek and crave and require of necessity my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." Well, that's the preface for my book. I hope it blesses you. I hope it challenges you. I hope there's some things there that you can meditate on and implement this coming weekend, this coming year. As I mentioned, the name of the book is Today's Word on Money, and it's a 40-day journey that examines the spiritual components of today's financial problems. So, again, we want to remind our listeners, if you're just new to the program, haven't heard our show before, we do this every Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, on KSUR 88.9. And for the time being, we're offering the first listener each week who either calls us or sends us an email. We're offering you a free copy of our book. It's a PDF, and so we can email it to you. And we'll be happy to do that. I hope it blesses you. So if you're interested in this book, you like what you've heard so far, well, send us an email at sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com or go to our website, todayswordonmoney.com, and there's a tab there where you can click, and it will pull up our email address also. That's todayswordonmoney.com. Or you can call us at 254-751-0565 or 254-307-1229. Again, the name of our show is Enriching People's Lives, and my name is Steve Sappington. Welcome. We hope you're having a good Sunday morning. We hope you've had a great Christmas holiday, that you've been blessed with good food and good friends, good family relations, and good spirits. And so we hope that it's going well for you. And again, we hope that you've taken some time to truly give thanks for the best Christmas gift of all, and that's Jesus Christ. Let me share with you a little more from our book. The the book is a 40-day study, so this will give you an idea of just how you can just take a few minutes every morning and the type of information that you can learn and cover in a fairly brief amount of time, but also something to give you some, we'll show you how it gives you some things that you can think on and work on throughout the day. So day one, the title of the first chapter is The Most Valuable Thing on Earth. What if something that you thought was true turned out not to be true? When would you want to know that it indeed was not true? The goal of Today's Word on Money is to share biblical wealth principles that you can implement now before it's too late. And by the way, if you're still alive, it's never too late to make at least some improvement in your life, perhaps even an eternal improvement. The Bible has almost 2,500 scriptures dealing with money and wealth, so evidently God knows that we need lots of help when it comes to managing finances. And He wants us to use money as a tool, not as an idol to worship. Over the next 40 days, we will look at some of the key scriptures which can help us apply biblical principles to the wealth that God entrusts to us. Today, let's put first thing first. What is the most valuable thing on earth? You know, there are literally hundreds of scriptures which can help us answer this question, and I encourage you to study beyond what our brief devotionals will cover. Why do I say this? Because God tells us in the Bible that He wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. Now, I know that may be hard for some of you to believe right now, but that's why He created us. In spite of all of our shortcomings, and in spite of all of the evil that is temporarily on this planet, the King of the universe truly cares for each and every one of us. He has countless wonderful secrets intended just for you if you'll only learn to communicate with Him. So don't be like the Hebrews at Mount Sinai when they wanted Moses to tell them God's word instead of hearing God for themselves. That's from Exodus 20:19 and from Deuteronomy 5:25-27. For today, though, so that you don't think that what I'm saying is impossible, or in case Bible study is new to you, let me help you get started. Matthew 16:26 reads, quote, "And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul or life in the process? Is anything worth more than your soul?" I like the Message translation. It reads, "What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for?" So God tells us that our eternal existence and well-being are far more valuable than everything material. Not just anything, but everything material, which all the material things are temporary at best. You know, let me just name a few of the many additional verses that you can study on this topic. Jeremiah 29:11. Deuteronomy 8:18. Matthew 5:16. Romans 3:5-6. And Romans 8:31. Hosea 6:3. Matthew 6:33. And Luke 6:38. Tomorrow we'll learn more about who truly owns this most valuable of all assets. So that's just a little one-page topic that you can read. And again, we've got 40 of these topics in our book. And then we also include what we call paradigm shifters or action points. Usually there are two or three questions that are thought-provoking. And we'll try to get you to maybe shift some paradigms, maybe examine some things that you've thought were true and you realize now that they weren't true. You've acted on false information or information that is no longer relevant or applicable to your situation. So the first paradigm shifter on the day one is this. It says, make a list of some things that you once believed that you know now are not true. Make a list of some things that you once believed that you now know are not true. Well, you can put all kinds of things there. You know, Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy or whatever. Again, so think about, you know, we've all believed something at one point and then realize that it's not true now. So, you know, whether that's spiritual beliefs or financial beliefs or beliefs about another person, it does us good to, you know, examine and say, you know, did I make a decision based on a lack of information where now I know better and I need to change that and therefore change my thinking and my behavior. The second paradigm shifter is, did someone ever try to change your mind about something, but you weren't ready to receive it? How would your life be different if you had received it sooner? Sometimes we're all too much like the Pharisees were, unwilling and or unable to see the truth because of our traditions. Is there anything now that you know you need to change? God loves it when we run to Him, not from Him. And as in the story of the prodigal son, God welcomes us with open arms. Now, I love that imagery. Again, this is a little aside from the book, but the imagery of the son who had left home, squandered the wealth, ended up eating the same out of the same trough as the pigs, and so obviously I would imagine that when he came home, he probably had some of that smell from the pig farm. Now I don't know if any of you have been around pigs much, but I grew up on a farm and have been around feedlots and so forth, and if you haven't ever been around, it's not real pleasant. The mud and the muck and so forth. So I'm sure that you can really see the love of the Father if he ran and let his son. Not only did he welcome him, but he welcomed him with open arms. And of course, he kissed him, hugged him, and welcomed him back, and put a ring on his finger and gave him new clothes. So, you know, God does the same thing for us, doesn't he? In terms of, you know, he when we ask him to, he forgives us all our sins, and all we have to do is come back to him, and he will make things right, make things new. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus, a new creation. Our third question is a paradigm shifter, is in what have you placed too much value or trust? You know, God's word says that we should have no other gods before or above him. I once heard of a Christian lady from India who said that she didn't like to visit America because we have so many idols over here. So ask someone who knows you well if they see something that you've made more important than your relationship with God. You know, isn't that amazing? You know, we think about a place like India where they have hundreds of millions of gods, and the lady there didn't want to visit America because of all the idols that we have over here. And it's sad but true. So that's the end of the first lesson. No, I'll take that back. We've got one other thing I usually have, or always have, after each day. We pick a verse that you can meditate on and memorize if you'd like. Again, if you do that for 40 days, then you'll know 40 more verses of Scripture. So what I say here is, how would you like to have 40 more Scriptures hidden in your heart? If so, pick your favorite translation below and memorize it. Watch how God's Word recharges you and how you grow in your walk with Jesus. Even if you don't memorize it, if you meditate on a verse throughout each day over the next 40 days, you will have cultivated a great habit. And the verse for today is Proverbs 11:30. Let me read a couple of the translations to you. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. That's from the King James Version. The Message says, a good life is a fruit-bearing tree. A violent life destroys souls. And then I highlighted the Amplified Version. It says, the fruit of the uncompromisingly righteous is a tree of life. And he who is wise captures human lives for God. As a fisher of men, he gathers and receives them for eternity. That's again was it's Proverbs 11:30, and that was the Amplified Version that I just read then. Well, folks, we're coming up on the end of the show. We thank you for tuning in. We hope you have a great week. If you have to work, we hope that things go well for you. If you're finishing up things, this is the last week of the year, so we hope things go well for you, that you get all the loose ends tied up that you need to. And again, we really encourage you to get away from the phones and from email and spend some time listening to what God has in store for you for 2010. Ask him and let him show you the plans, then write them down, and spend some time with your spouse if you're married, and your children, and all of you do some planning. And again, God, he always has some things different, even if we have great plans, but he wants us to do our part also, and so that, you know, we can take the first step. Then he can, if we're moving, he can direct us. But if we're just sitting and not doing anything, it's hard for him to do much. So it's kind of like the old saying about a bicycle. You can't change directions if it's just standing there, but it's easy if the wheels are rolling, then you can make course corrections. So again, this is Steve Sappington. Our name of our show is Enriching People's Lives. We hope this show has enriched you today. And one last time, we want to remind you that if you're tuned in today and you haven't heard us before, the first person who calls or emails us will receive a free copy of our book. It's called Today's Word on Money. And so give us a call at 751-0565 or 307-1229. Or you can email us at sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com or visit our website and contact us there. www.todayswordonmoney.com. Thanks for tuning in. We hope that you have a great week and that 2010 is your best year yet. Not your best year ever, but your best year yet. May the Lord richly bless you. May you receive his very best for you in every area of your life. This is Steve Sappington with Enriching People's Lives. Lord bless you, and we look forward to visiting with you again next Sunday.